Why is it so important for you to know who you are in Christ, really? Because it affects every single area of your life, from the choices that you make, from the way you treat other people, the way you see yourself, the way you live your life, the way that you pray. All of these are contingent upon how you see yourself in Christ and what you understand about the way the Father views you. Hi, I'm Dr. Doug Cowan, and we're going to spend the next 30 minutes looking at this important topic. We're going to spend some time praying for the prayer requests that have come into our station over this past week, and we're going to spend some time enjoying some great music. Let's begin with Matt Mayer and Audrey Assad.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more, grace is found, is where you are, where you are. Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me.
Have you seen the prayer room at the KAXL website? If you haven't, please go there and please use it to its fullest to be praying for people and also to be putting your own prayer requests up there so others can be praying for you. Simply go to our website, KAXL.com, and you'll see across the top of the website there, you'll see a link up there to the prayer room, and just click on that, and it brings you to a place where you can add your prayer requests or pray for others. So let's just look at that, and let's together spend some time praying for those who have put requests up here at our KAXL prayer room. We have a prayer request for Jerry, that his health improves and for safe transportation from one hospital to another, for his family and for the doctors and nurses in charge of his care. And we have another prayer request from a wife. Please. And we have another prayer request from an aunt, praying for her nephew, Vincent, 19 years old. He had a stroke 3-4 weeks ago and has bleeding in the brain. We want to be praying for his healing. He's in a drug-induced coma at the moment. The bleeding will need to stop, and that'll all need to kind of, that damage needs to kind of go away. We need to be praying for his healing. And God, please intervene in this. It says life support was removed and a trach tube inserted, and he's breathing on his own. Thank you, Lord. But the swelling in his brain has to, you know, this whole situation. We need to be praying for Vincent and for Jerry. Let's do that right now. Father, there are so many that are asking for prayer for healing, literally dozens of people needing healing. Father, you know every situation. We ask for prayer. We ask for healing for each of those situations, especially for Vincent, this young man who has had a stroke. Father, please touch him and heal him. For Jerry, who's on his way to another hospital, please touch his body and bring healing to him. And for all of these who are asking for your healing touch, Father, please do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessings come through raindrops. What if your healing comes through? endless nights. Are your mercies in disguise?
Here at KAXL, we're working hard to expand our ministry reach. We know that the good news of Jesus Christ, when it's broadcast on the radio, can travel into places, into homes and businesses and cars and hospital rooms, through doors and walls. It can travel into places that other types of ministries simply cannot reach. KAXL is able to reach people with the gospel because we're a radio station. And now we're expanding our ministry by providing seminars and workshops to local churches, churches like yours, as a way of strengthening your family and your church, and maybe even reaching into your church's neighborhood. We're offering, for free, marriage workshops, parenting classes, and even stress management seminars. And the size of your church doesn't matter to us. In fact, we really want to help the many small and medium-sized churches in Bakersfield and Delano, Shafter and Tehachapi, where the pastors are working hard to care for their flocks and hard to reach into their neighborhoods, but may not have time to do these kinds of workshops and seminars. So if you'd like to know more, give us a call. I'll take you to Starbucks. I'll tell you all about it. And thanks for supporting the ministry of KAXL. And if you're not yet a financial supporter, give us a call at the station. We'd be glad to tell you how you can become part of our ministry team.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, insane.
You know, as we talk about who we are in Christ, there are a number of passages of Scripture that we need to be more familiar with. We need to come to understand, come to grips with how God sees us. If I were to ask you, who are you? Well, you would describe yourself based upon the job that you do or the role that you have in life or whose parents you are or whose children you are or where you volunteer or something like that. And you might describe yourself based upon how other people have described you. But how does God see you? This is what's really important. Reality is how God sees things. And the great reality of who am I? The answer to that question, it's a universal question. Everybody will ask it at some point in their life. Who am I? The answer to that question that's real is based upon how God sees us. And there are a number of passages of Scripture that we just need to become very familiar with so that we know how God sees us. One of them is Romans chapter 8. And I just want to share some of Paul's thoughts from Romans chapter 8, what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand about our relationship with Christ with you at this time. So here we are, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Holy Spirit have their minds set on what that Holy Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But you, however, you're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And, by the way, anyone who does not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Here it comes. Ready? Now you got to hear this. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let me say that one more time. Because those who are led by the Holy Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave once again to fear, but you received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Now here are some very important concepts. Who am I? Well, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is telling us we are the sons of God. Now, I used to say sons and daughters of God, but my daughter Amber corrected me, saying, it's not what it says, Dad. It says sons of God. Well, why does it just say sons of God? Because back in that day, only sons could inherit property. Daughters, you know, they got their share of their inheritance at their wedding day as part of their dowry from Dad. They were cashed out, given cash to go start a new family. But sons only could inherit property. Only sons were in the will, as it were. And so here we are being described by the Holy Spirit as sons of God. When we go to heaven, we do not go there as tourists. We are not there just visiting. We are not there just looking around and taking photos. We go there as sons. We go there as family. We are in the family of God, and our Father is the Most High God, maker of heaven and earth, whom angels bow down and worship. This is our Father, our Dad, our Abba Father. And we can approach Him, even when He's on His throne working, we can approach Him as His children. This is a fabulous passage that the Holy Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit, we are God's children. So when we go to heaven, we have a room down the hall. We have clothes hanging in the closet. We have a place at the table. We are God's children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is who you are. This is who we are. And there's more here from Romans chapter 8 to consider. Verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God wants the best for us, even when horrible things are happening, even when hard things are happening. God wants the best for us. Why? Because we are His sons and daughters. Just like you as a father or you as a mother want the best for your kids, even when hard things are happening, you want it to turn out for their good. God wants it to turn out for our good because we are His children. And He also wants us to look more and more every day like Jesus Christ, our Lord. He wants to conform us into the image of Christ. Now, to conform would be like to shape or mold us, form us. Remember the vacuum forms that we had growing up? I'm old. You might not remember them, but you'd put little rubber stuff into a mold and it'd get heated up and put under pressure and it would come out looking like a whatever. And that's what happens to us, is that God wants us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, our Savior. And so God will pour us into a mold and He'll apply heat and He'll apply pressure and we come out looking more and more like Jesus if we submit to that process. That is God's intention for us, is that we look more and more like Jesus. And that's not all in Romans 8. Here's some more. What then shall we say in response to this? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Christ, graciously give us all things? And, by the way, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who thinks that he can condemn us? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, was raised to life. He is right now at the right hand of God, and He is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or poverty, or danger, or war? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, hyper-conquerors, through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Let's let Jason Gray remind us once again who we are in Christ.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be, remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong. never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Whoa. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. I'm the one you love, I'm the one you love. That will be enough. I'm the one you love. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
God is looking for people who will acknowledge His greatness and goodness and thereby release His power and advance His kingdom. Hi, this is Dr. Doug Cowan, Director of Ministry here at Life FM, with some thoughts on the power of one defining moment. A powerful backwoods preacher from the mountains of Kentucky had been bothered enough by the threats of the moonshiners, so he set off to the Carolinas to hold revival meetings. But church after church turned him down. So he acquired a tent and got the permission of a dairy farmer to hold tent meetings in his fields. Over the first 4 nights, hardly anyone came. And on the 5th night, just 1 person received Christ as a Savior. No one knew what that night would mean, though, as preacher Mordecai Ham led the young dairy farmer's son to Christ. But that young man's name was Billy Graham. And this is the power of one defining moment.